Here in Milwaukee, it's about 50 degrees or so. How about over in your world?
Ooh, it's probably about the same. A little misty.
A little misty. And where are you this morning?
We are just south of Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin, and almost to the Wisconsin River.
There you go. Excellent. So how's it been going?
It's been going really well. We have had some headwinds in the last few days and some cloudy days, but we are making good mileage and seeing interesting things on the river.
So your arms are stronger than ever?
Yeah.
That's good.
And sore.
Are they? So it doesn't matter how much and how efficiently you're paddling, it wears on you.
Yeah. We're trying to be good about stretching, but sometimes forget to do it.
A friend, you know, we hear from people as you do, much more at your end, but one friend asked me, do they allow themselves some rest or do you really, I know you stopped in the Twin Cities, seems like years ago,
mm-hmm.
but other than that, do you just stick to it every day unless weather holds you back?
Yeah, just about every day we wake up pretty early and paddle for maybe 8 to 10, sometimes 11 hours, or we're out on the water and we take breaks, of course, but a few days ago, a few parents visited us just north of La Crosse, and we had a really nice dinner with them. And then in the morning, we didn't set out until about 11 in the morning. So that was sort of a half day for us.
So that was cut off a little bit. You said parents?
Yeah, parents came out to visit us, parents and some family.
Nice. I didn't know if that was allowed.
Oh, yeah. No, that's allowed. We love having visitors and paddlers who hear about us from an article or a newspaper and then come out and find us. We've had that happen a couple of times.
Since we last talked, you met some people at Perot State Park who were from Milwaukee
yeah.
and heard you on the radio?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. We also had a man named Bert who was found out about us in the Big River magazine, which is all things Mississippi. And he had been going out on the river for several days, waiting for us to paddle down. And one day he was about to head back home and he saw some paddle blades gleaming in the sun. And he waited for us and paddled with us for a couple of miles and showed us a part of the river that we wouldn't have seen if it hadn't been for Bert. We got to see a boathouse community where people live in a little house that is floating on some big rafts. And they were really neat to see.
So that was a series of floating homes?
Yeah.
Cool. So where is that?
That was right outside of Winona.
Very neat. So you mentioned that you've something about dredging.
Yeah, we have been seeing big pieces of machinery that are scooping up sediment from the bottom of the river and then putting the sediment onto a barge. A stationary barge. And one time we saw that happening inside of the channel, just inside of the buoy where the barges travel through. And another time yesterday we saw lots of bulldozers roaming around on a rough, muddy island. And a man, we said hello to a man and we said, we're going to New Orleans, which is usually our typical thing we say right off the bat. And he said, I know, I read about you in the paper. And we asked him what was going on with the bulldozers, and he said that the Army Corps of Engineer has requested for some environmental management purposes that they dredge outside of the channel, pick up sediment, and build islands in the Mississippi River for environmental management. And that's all we heard from him about what was going on. But we thought that was really interesting that they would dredge outside of the river channel and not make the river channel any deeper, but instead another part of the river deeper in order to build some islands.
Wow. So since that happened, have you heard from others in your blogging or communications who have filled you in further?
Yeah, we have. Our education coordinator is keeping up with the blog, and I haven't looked at the comments yet, but last night she said that there were several students who were replying via comments about the questions we've been asking, and dredging is one of those topics. So we're hoping that our river ambassadors out there in the schools are keeping up with the blog and able to do a little research for us, and we will get back to them when we have some time and internet connection.
That's really interesting. So where was that approximately you saw that, Martha? You probably know exactly where that was.
The dredging we mm-hmm. saw once was just north of Prairie du Chien. That was yesterday, maybe 10 miles north on the river. And then we also saw it just outside of Lansing, Iowa.
Very interesting. Wow.
And I'm sure we'll see more of it. I imagine that the sediment fills up in the barge channel pretty quickly after it's been dug out to be deep enough for the barges. So I'm sure we'll see it again soon.
So what kind of depths do you think you're paddling through, and how is the river looking at this point to you?
Right now we're in a really narrow channel. There's many, many islands that some have trees and some are just grasses. And on the map, when you look at the river, it looks like a really narrow lake ridden with islands. And there's parts of the river where it opens up and there aren't many islands. And so we'll be prepared to do a crossing if it's really wavy. But otherwise, we follow the barge channel because it's really easy to keep track of the red and green buoys that the barges follow. And we also know that that's where the fastest current is because of the wing dams that are underneath the water perpendicular to the current. And that pushes the water into where the barge channel is to make it flow faster than the rest of the river.
So a wing dam, did you say it's called?
Yeah.
Describe that again, if you would.
A wing dam is a structure underneath the water, and you can sometimes see a pile of rocks along the shore, and then stretching out, going straight across the river, perpendicular to the current, you can see the ripples on the surface of the water are a little bit different than the rest of the river, and that's where there's a mini dam underneath the surface of the water, and that mini dam will divert the flow of the water into the barge channel.
Okay. All right. So back to paddling a bit. I know that when you canoed across Lake Pippin, you paddled into the night. Have you had other nighttime paddlings?
Yeah, just south of Alma, Wisconsin, I believe. We woke up at 3 a.m. so that we knew that the next day was going to be really windy. So we woke up at 3 a.m. and paddled starting around 4:00. And it was beautiful. We passed a few barges, and we were really close together with our headlamps on. But it was just really neat to paddle in the complete darkness. It didn't feel like we were on water, except every time you put your paddle blade in. But otherwise, when you looked out, you couldn't really tell you were on a body of water. And then we got to see some duck hunters and hear some duck hunters as the sun started to rise and the ducks started flying. And that day we paddled about 30 miles and arrived at our destination in the mid-afternoon. So it was nice to have an early arrival that day.
I know we've talked about the division of responsibilities. Do you have one person who is the wind, water, weather expert, or how do you keep abreast of, you know, when you should hit the water and how you should approach each day?
We don't have one go-to person. We all try to evenly distribute and contribute all the roles and tasks in the group. And some of us have phones that allow us to look up the weather. So I guess the people with the phones are often looking up the weather more so than the others. But something that's interesting that we pointed out is that some of us, this is the first time we've been on a trip where we have access to weather reports. And so we're not used to looking up the weather on the internet and being able to hear from another source what it's going to be like. And instead, we're just used to gauging it based on what we see in real life. And so sometimes we'll look up the weather, but usually we just gauge the weather off of what the clouds are doing and what's happening around us in real life.
Feel a little more connected to what it's all about, huh?
Yeah.
So any more locks? Have you passed through any more locks yet?
Yeah, I believe we've gone through lock number 9, maybe 10. I can't remember.
Wow, so this is just old hat now.
Yeah.
And I hear that you have visited the National Eagle Center.
Yeah, we in Wabasha, Minnesota, we got a tour of the center and got to see some of the eagles that are in rehab and won't be let back into the wildlife because of one disability or another. And it was really interesting to learn about how much an eagle weighs and how big their wingspan is, and to see that up close and personal with a real live eagle, and learn about how Wabasha is a unique spot for spotting eagles, because Lake Pepin is just to the north of it and feeds into the town, or into the river where the town is. And Lake Pepin will freeze over in the wintertime, but as the water flows out of Lake Pepin into the Mississippi River right next to Wabasha, that section of the river never freezes because there's a constant flow of water, whereas other parts of the river will freeze. And so eagles are able to have fish to eat year-round right outside of Wabasha. So people come from all over the world to spot bald eagles at this center.
So is the river becoming increasingly fascinating to you with every stroke?
Yeah, it's changing in many ways, and I'm anticipating that changing even more as we continue down south.
What do you know is coming next in terms of change?
I think the landscape is going to change a lot. We've been impressed with the magnificent bluffs. Sometimes we don't feel like we're in the Midwest, and some of us are surprised with how beautiful it is where we are right now. So I know it'll get much flatter after this section. And I think we'll be seeing more and more barge traffic and have to be more cautious with that. We have a marine radio with us in which we're able to communicate with the locks and the barges, and also with the Coast Guard. They called us, we were notified that we needed to call the Coast Guard, and they want us to be in communication with them at 6 in the morning and 6 at night, just to let them know where we are and that we're okay. So that was really nice of them to do that for us. I think we'll be, I'm not really sure what we'll see next, but I think it's going to change a lot more, wider.
Yeah, I'm sure. So you're pushing into the, you know, what will be the fifth week. Do you feel like you're where you thought you would be in the journey geographically?
Yes, we are. We've recently compared our trip to someone else's trip down the Mississippi, and he was paddling at a similar rate as our rate, our average mileage each day. And when we projected without any rest days, we are supposed to arrive before Thanksgiving. So originally we thought we wouldn't get there until a few days after Thanksgiving, but now we think that with the increasing flow rate of the river, we'll be able to stay on track to our original itinerary and arrive in New Orleans right around Thanksgiving.
So you sound great. You're feeling well, and
it's been quite the adventure. A good one, really good one.
Think of day after day being out in the elements. So everybody is really, you know, no maladies, huh?
Nope. Everyone's chowing down on oatmeal right now.
Everyone say,
hey, Susan.
Have a great day. So have a great day.
Okay, I will. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Until next week.